So are you here to be entertained, or are you here to be equipped this morning? Let's see the hands for entertainment. Oh, we have one, praise God, one at the back, hallelujah. One honest man in the house, hey, hallelujah. Who's here to be equipped this morning?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. See, if you were really equipped, you'd have both hands up. Hallelujah. I surrender all, hallelujah. Glory to God. See, according to Ephesians chapter 4, God has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, as gifts to the church for one purpose, to entertain them. No, for the equipping of the church. What for? For the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. Glory to God. So we're here to be equipped this morning. Are you here to be equipped to succeed? Because God's heart is for you to succeed. He said, if you will meditate on my word, if you will give my word your full attention, then you will prosper in everything that you do and you will have good success. Who knows success is always good? No such thing as bad success. Success is always good, and everything that God wants to do in your life is always good. You know it's God when it's good. You know it's the devil when it's evil. Nice and simple, nice and straightforward. That will keep you on track. Glory to God. Amen. But who knows, even battleships aren't what they used to be. They're a lot more comfortable. We'd like people to have the maximum comfort that we can give them while they're being equipped. We're not into just, come on, sitting on stone floors in the cold. We're not, come on, let's get real, folks, come on. Hallelujah. You don't have to be uncomfortable to be equipped. Battleships aren't what they used to be. I mean, you see some of these things on TV now, you know, and some of these reality shows. And I never, actually, there was one about something like that, wasn't there, about following some naval kind of bunch around. I never saw it. But I'm sure if you had seen it, you'd have seen that the living conditions are way better than they used to be when they used to press gang people. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a good life now being in the Navy, I'm sure. So anyway, there we go. Are we here to be entertained or equipped? This is the question we want to press on this one. This is part four. This is actually the last part of this series we've been looking at, knowing and believing. Knowing and believing. You see, faith isn't just believing that God can. Many people believe that God can. Many people are willing to give mental assent to the fact that God can do this and do that and do the next thing, and yet they never move into the place of actually experiencing or appropriating what they say they believe God can do. So faith is beyond believing that God can, and it is knowing that He will. Religion believes God can, but in that place of intimate relationship with the Father, you come to a new place, a higher dimension of faith, where you actually know that He will. There is a certainty in your life that what God has promised, He will fulfill. He will come through on, not just some of the time, but all the time. Hallelujah. So let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. If you haven't been part of the other, if you haven't heard the other parts of this series, they are available online. They're also available in hard copy. All you have to do is ask and you will receive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 says this, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." We need to stay in love. They say, "I'm in love." I said before, love changes the perspective on everything, doesn't it? Come on, some of you people remember something like that, don't you, when you fell in love? Everything changed. There was a new hope entered your life that everything could be different. Everything could be of a better quality. Amen. I'm no longer going to have to do this alone. Come on. And there was all kinds of hopes for the future. Not all of them were realized, maybe because maybe they weren't all charged with Bible hope. And that's what we've looked at over the weeks, that there's a hope that's in the world. It's I hope I win the lottery one day. You know, that sort of stuff. And I hope this works out. And you say to someone, well, you know, God can do something. You say, well, I hope so. But it's not Bible hope that they have. And it says that Abraham hoped against hope. He was aware of that hope that exists in the world, that fingers crossed, touch wood kind of hope. You know what I'm saying? That very rarely comes through. Usually it's more to do with luck than anything else. And we don't believe in luck. Well, it's out there, whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? But there's another hope. There's a Bible hope. Glory to God. And he went beyond just that hope that's in the world, and he took hold of the Bible hope. And that's a sure. The Bible, in the New Covenant, it reveals to us that hope is a sure and a certain hope. In fact, it's an anchor for our souls. Glory to God. So if you're on the battleship today, you need to know that your battleship is anchored in hope. Glory to God. See, the cruise ship, it's not anchored in Bible hope. It's anchored in that, well, you know, if everything works out okay, if everything looks okay, if everything feels okay, then everything must be okay until tomorrow when the rug's pulled out from under you and you're flat in your back and you're going, what's this all about? They told me this, they told me that, they told me the next thing. but and you believed that he could, but you hadn't reached that place of Bible hope. Your soul wasn't anchored. Your mind and your will and your emotions weren't anchored in Bible hope, in that certainty that it doesn't matter what circumstances look like. It says that Abraham looked down at his own body. He recognized he was dead as far as the natural world was concerned, and yet God had promised him a seed from his own body. Hallelujah. So he hoped against that worldly hope, and he came into Bible hope. And he refused to be moved. It says he was not moved from what he believed. And he kept declaring it and proclaiming it and speaking it out, regardless of how ridiculous it appeared to everybody else. That's not believing that he can. That's knowing that he will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Who knows that faith comes by? Hearing. Glory to God. We need to understand, see, faith is charged with hope. See, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith gives substance. Faith begins to see and to feel and to hold in your hand that which other people don't even believe is possible. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that other people can't see. But you can see it. You can see it because God said it. Some people say, I'll believe it if I see it. But that's not how God works. He says, if you see it, come on. If you believe it, you'll see it. That's what God says. Amen. That's the way God, the kingdom of God works. If you believe it, you will see it. There, even people in the church, I've heard them say that. Well, if I see it, I'll believe. If I see somebody coming out of a wheelchair, then I'll believe it. I thought, no, you won't. You might give some acknowledgement to the fact that the person used to be in a wheelchair and now they're walking around, but that won't do anything for your faith, because that's not how faith works. Amen. Glory to God. See, faith comes by hearing, not by having heard. We need to understand that. We must stay in the now. It's about I am, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. You must. In religion, he was and will be. Come on. I was just thinking about something this morning, meditating on it, came up in my spirit again, because sometimes I get really frustrated with people who still follow the revival trail to the island of Lewis. Here we go again. We're on this one again. Just very briefly. So I want to tell you, if you come to the island of Lewis and you still have that, if you still have an I was and I will be God, then you carry a very heavy burden. Not a God-given burden. It's a burden you brought upon yourself. And your burden is, I will be the one who will bring the revival back. That's too big a burden for any of you. I want to tell you that today, this morning. Too big a burden for any of you. But everybody who comes here, they come with that burden. Because they would say, we're not really here. But then that's what they're here to do. They're going to be the next ones. They're going to be the next Duncan Campbell, so-and-so-so. And he's going to light the spark. And they're going to be the ones who's going to bring the revival back. What a load of hoo-ha. Thank God for those who experienced a little taste of the goodness of God for a short time. God bless them. Hallelujah. Many of them are already in the glory experiencing the real thing. Full time. Glory to God. Thank God for that. But they just broke out of the box a little bit. Some of them somehow got beyond the believing he can to the knowing that he will. And for a short season, they entered into a place where they began to experience I am. Like he's always supposed to be experienced. Because everything else is religion. If your God isn't I am, it's just religion that you've got. God said to Moses, I am that I am. When he said, Moses asked the Lord, he said, who will I tell the people has sent me to them? He said, you tell them I am has sent you. They've been down there fussing and cussing and crying and squealing and squalling and bawling and rolling around on the floor and because they'd heard. Everything God had done, here they are now, look at the state of this, what condition we're in now. But they'd lost, because they'd lost touch with I am. They'd lost touch with I am. He didn't say, I will be, has sent me. Well, don't worry, God's going to come through for us in a few days or in a few weeks or a couple of months' time. We're going to get delivered out of here. He said, I am, has sent me. I am. Now it's time for you to start dealing with I am again. It's time that you start preparing your hearts before I am again. It's time to get back into relationship and covenant with I am again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not, faith doesn't come by what you heard. Faith comes by what you hear. Faith, it's now faith. It says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith. You must remain in now faith. Your faith must be a now event in your life. It must be something you're experiencing every single day. Today, if you hear his voice, let fresh faith be be activated on the inside of you. Faith that's charged with hope. Hope that never disappoints. Why? Because it's activated and energized and put to work and made effective, according to the Amplified Bible, Galatians 5, verse 6, by love. What love? The love that we know and believe. The love that God has for us. That's what makes your faith work. Amen. In Romans chapter 5, it says that hope never disappoints. Why? Because the love of God has been poured into our hearts. How many of you have struggled with disappointment in your lives? How many of you, part of your experience has been disappointment after disappointment? That's because you've become, you might have been in religion all that time, but you got disconnected from I Am. You got disconnected from Bible hope. You allowed that other hope to come in. And see, it was sold to the church as well. It's not just in the world. Who knows what's in the world gets in the church if someone hasn't put a big garter around it. Come on. Everything that's you, there's no, you don't have a problem with your ship when your ship's in the sea. You have a problem with your ship when the sea gets in the ship. Now who knows, every ship takes on a little bit of sea, but it has pumps working continually to get that sea back out again. And you need to understand that your faith pump needs to be working. Your hope pump needs to be working. When the world starts to come in and start to sell you something different, tries to sell you short, and then the church buys it, the church turns it into a doctrine, the church begins to sell it to you as theology and all that baloney. Theology has done a great disservice to the church, the living church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Great disservice. Expository preaching has done a great disservice. Exegesis has done a great disservice. Exegetical, homiletical, hermeneutical, all of that mess has done a great disservice to the body of Christ. Has removed it out of the now. Removed it out of the place of covenant with I Am. That might sound a bit shocking to some of you. Well, fasten your seatbelt or what, do something. I mean, hang in there. Make it better. I hope so. Is that Bible hope or is that another counterfeit mess? Come on. Hallelujah. You see, religious entertainment. Now, you might not think, you think of entertainment, you think it's all makes you laugh. But religious entertainment is hearing about Jesus. Doesn't matter if it makes you laugh or not. Doesn't matter if it's more doom and gloom than you can cope with. It's still entertainment if all you're doing is hearing about Jesus. You see, relational equipping, which is what we're here to do. We're here to bring you a prophetic word from God for this morning. It's a now word from Him. And it's relational equipping is about hearing from Jesus. Not hearing about Him. It's about hearing from Him. Are you here today to hear from Him? Or did you come to hear about Him? It's another confusion that entered the church. I don't know when it entered, but it's been around a long time and it's caused a lot of damage. And it's caused a lot of people to end up with more disappointment, more disillusionment than they're able to cope with, than their souls are able to process. And that is because people thought that God called them to go somewhere. God called me to go here. God never called anybody to go anywhere. The call is always to come. To who? To Him. But He did say go. Yeah, He did say go. He said go into all the world and preach this gospel. He said baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded them. That I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. The commission is come on, let's go together. The commission is just a higher the next level, the next dimension, if you like, of the call to come. He doesn't kick you out there on your own. He says, come on, let's go. Lo, I am with you always. As you go, we're going together. Some people say, I feel God's calling me to go here or go there. And the next thing you know, they come back with their tail between their legs, beaten up. There's a message there. God didn't call you to go anywhere. Calls you to come to Him. What does He say? Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, burdened down. That doesn't just mean initial salvation. Who knows, you can get into that condition 20 years down the road. 30 years down the road. He says, come, and the invitation is to come and learn from Him. Not to lean on Him, but to learn from Him. Do you understand the difference? Big difference between leaning on him and learning from him. The invitation is, come and learn from me. Come and I'll show you how it's done. I'll show you how to take the pain out of it. Take the stress out of it. Take the aggravation out of it. The frustration out of it. I'll remove that for you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes, like Jesus said, the narrow is the gate, the difficult is the way. But you need to understand, that's the entry point. Like we spoke about earlier this morning, we're speaking about this covenant that we have, this remembrance that he's called us to remember this covenant. When he's sharing with these first disciples about his flesh and his blood, they couldn't cope with it. They couldn't come through the entry point. It was too difficult. Their big heads couldn't get through there. Their big fat intellectualism couldn't make it through the gate. Their head was too big, too bloated, too full of argument and debate and fuss and cuss. I was out at the River Creed on Friday. I was down by one of the pools. I can't remember, was it the Sheriff's Pool? Some of you might know the River Creed better than I do. It's a good salmon river just there on the edge of town. And I was going down by one of the pools, and one of the pools that has a kind of wall coming in from either side, there was a very narrow gap, just probably just maybe about a foot wide. And these salmon who are coming up from the sea, up the river, they must come through that gap or they'll die. That which is motivating them, that which is pushing them on and pushing them forward, they know if they don't make it, they're going to die. It's life or death. But see, when they make it through that narrow gap, all of a sudden they're in an awesome pool. Beware of fishermen. But you need to see, I said that in the minute the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, beware of those who seek to pull you out of God's best, of God's will, of God's purpose for your life. There's always those who are waiting at the side, waiting at the edge to hook you and pull you out. They always hook your soul. Oh, that's too extreme. Don't listen to that. Just come with us. Come with us. We'll tell you all about Jesus. You need to hear more about him. No, I need to hear from him. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, not that proceeded from the mouth of God, but that you must capture the tense when Jesus is speaking. You must capture the tense at all times. Every word that proceeds, it's a now word. In fact, the word there is rhema. It's a now word. It's the word that God speaks to you, whatever you're at, whatever situation or circumstances you are facing. And it's the word that is your way out, your way of escape. If you take hold of that word, then you're coming out of these circumstances. You're coming out of that negative situation that is working against you. Man shall not live. Say live. It's about life. You see, it's about life. It's all about life. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life. Who was he talking about? Who were they? They were the ones who used to be getting stolen from and getting killed and destroyed. But now he's come to reverse that mess and reverse that curse and introduce them into a life of blessing. Hallelujah. Blessed life. Come on. Call is always to come. And he says, then when it's time to go, for 3.5 years of having come to be, you see, he called his disciples to come and be with him. And they responded to that call. And they were with him for 3.5 years. They were with him every day. Day and night, eating together, playing together, praying together, ministering together, standing in awe together at what God was doing. And then after the end of that 3.5 years, he made the most ridiculous statement that had ever been made since all creation. It's better for you now that I go. Because when I go, I'm going to back to the Father. I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And when he comes, it will be like not only having me with you all the time, but having me in you all the time. Your life is about to move up to a better quality. Now you try and approach that with your carnal mind. Thank you, Lord. He just cut off a temptation there in my life. Thank you. Hallelujah. Jesus. He who abides in love. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the most awful day the world will ever experience. We will have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, and I want you to capture this, as he is, so are we in this world. He that is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him, the scripture says. If we could just capture just even a tiny little bit of what that means. That's why Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. He said, I'm praying for you. I'm down on my knees praying for you that you will begin to get revelation of just what you're in, what you're a part of, who's a part of your life. You'll begin to get revelation. Will begin to break loose on the inside of you about the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of God's love. That you'll begin to just get an inkling of just that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can even ask or think through the power that's working in you right now. The Holy Spirit, who Jesus said it'll be better for you when he comes, when he's in your life. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, you see, there's churches all over the place now. And I'm not being critical, and I'm not having a go at other churches that this can be true of us here right now, that think you can do it without the Holy Spirit. Now that's the craziest, maddest, most lunatic thing that anyone could ever have dreamt up. But a lot of people, they would deny that was the truth, but the reality is that that's the way it is. I am is not there. I am doesn't have the authority to come in and do what I am does. And so we'll spend all of our time talking about I was, and then we'll just to keep the people to keep their souls hooked, we'll talk about the God who will be. We'll keep projecting it out there to the future. Don't worry, one day things are about to change. One day revival's coming. What baloney. What does that do? It removes you from I am to I will be. Or it just takes you back into the history of I was. Oh yes. So we believe that he can. But no, we need to come beyond that. Back into a covenant relationship. Remember what Jesus said? Remember these guys who were, they said they came before the Lord and they said, we did it. We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did all these things. And you know what he said? He said, I never knew you. They thought you were supposed to do the things that Jesus did. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here right now, but so what? You're not supposed to be doing the things that Jesus did. You're supposed to be doing the things he's doing. That's why you cannot live by what he said. You must begin to hear what he is saying. Do you understand the difference? We did it. We heard that this is what we were supposed to do, so we ran out. We probably felt called to go there. So we responded to what we thought was a call to go, and off we went, and we did it. He says, I never knew you. There was never that relationship. Maybe that's why a lot of noise is made and a lot of activity goes on, but there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of fruit. Are you here to be entertained or are you here to be equipped to succeed? You see, you need to understand, meditation is like sucking seed. You swallow it. Down, man, it just passes out the other end. You never even know you had it. Meditation is like taking the seed of the Word of God. And, you ever seen one of them sheep out there, man? Out in the croft. When they take a mouthful of grass and they're getting extracting every last little bit of goodness out of that grass before they swallow it. Come on. We like speed reading. You know, I'm going to read 5 chapters today. So I've got 5 chapters of what he said and not one. Not even one punctuation mark of what he's saying. I read the Bible in a year. Oh, good on you. Let me tell you, you can read it a lot more than once a year if you really apply yourself. Man. The 1 year Bible. Wow. Paul said, that can be just 1 year of dead letter. That's all. Unless there's a living connection with the Holy Spirit who's making that word alive. That's causing I am to show up, to manifest, to be present, to do what he does. Calls always to come. Then commission, come on guys, let's go. Together, let's do it. Religion's knowing about, but relationship is knowing personally. Theology is knowledge about, but relationship is knowledge of. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. I just want to look at an example in here. Maybe get something from this. Hallelujah. Just to help us understand this, the difference between what he has said and what he is saying, what he did and what he's doing. Because disappointment and disillusionment come, folks, when we try and do what he did. And just follow through on what he said. That's where and who knows disillusionment is a gift from God? Because it removes your illusion. You thought things were okay, and God removes the illusion and you discover it's not okay after all. I want to tell you, it's not okay to pray for 500 people and none of them get healed. That's not okay. Do you hear what I said? I said it's not okay to pray for 500 people and none of them get healed and then blame them. Now, some of them might be responsible for rejecting it, but out of 500 people, it's very unlikely that all 500 of them. Come on. That's not okay. But that happens when we try and do what Jesus did. Matthew chapter 14. And, hallelujah, I'm looking at Matthew chapter 12. Yeah, I didn't look right. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, what was he doing? Well, we know that he gave his disciples revelation of what he did when he went away on his own to pray. He was plugging in, he was spending time in the Father's presence, he was charging up with the anointing. That's what he was doing. Hallelujah. Remember when he took Peter, James and John, and we called the Mount of Transfiguration, blah, blah, you know, so glory to God. The theologians have a ball with that. But anyway, what he was doing was he was plugging in. Just like I go home every day. Katrina's, oh, my phone, man, there's no battery left. I says, that's because you don't plug it in when you come home every day. I learned, the first thing you do when you come home is you take your mobile phone and you stick it back on the charge. Why? So that when you need it, it's fully charged. When you leave the next day, you take it back off and you go out and you know you've got plenty of charge for that day. And you come home and you stick it back on. Jesus knew he needed to be charged up every day. He needed enough of a charge of the anointing every day to continue doing what he saw the Father doing. See, he would go up there and he wasn't just charged up with the anointing. He was spending time in the presence of the Father. And I'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, it says that when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Now, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary or against him. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Hallelujah. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a ghost? Or it is a ghost. It wasn't even a question, it was a statement. It is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. Cheer up, guys. And the literal translation there is, I am. Your Bible might say, it is I, but literally that, what he said there was, I am. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come. To what? To come to you on the water. So Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith or immature faith, why did you doubt? Who knows, when Peter stepped out of the boat onto the water, it wasn't because he'd heard Jesus behind him saying, go. Go on, Peter, come on, out of the boat, on the water. You know I did it once, come on you go. Oops. He heard Jesus in front of him saying, come. Be of good cheer. I am. Do not be afraid. John, 1 John 4:17, as I said, we read it earlier on. As He is, so are we in this world. As He is, as I am, so are we. As I said, when we are joined to the Lord, when we respond to His invitation to come and to learn from Him and to be yoked to Him, we become one spirit with Him. And you know what He says? You will find rest for your souls. That part of you that is just not equipped to deal with the stuff of life. It was never designed to do so. It was always your spirit man that was supposed to be at the helm. Glory to God. We find rest for our souls. We step off the emotional roller coaster. We step out of the place where we're plagued by indecision and double-mindedness. And out of that place of intimacy of relationship, out of that place of knowing, doing becomes easy. See, Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing. Somewhere along, when He was up that mountain, He saw the Father walking on the water. Hallelujah. And it's when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, and when he said, if that's you out there, command me to come to you. And when he heard the word come, he stepped out onto the water. Because he was doing what he saw Jesus doing. He was part, as he is, so are we in this world. We'll get that. I'll try to explain that a little bit better. You see, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, and we will do the same. When we come to that place, back into that place of now relationship, back into that place of not just believing that He can, but knowing that He will, because we're in that place of relationship with Him where we know and believe. See, Jesus, if Jesus is walking in the water, then so can we. But if He's not, you'll drown. If He's walking in the water, and I think it was in Mel Tarry's book, I think it is, I can't remember the name of that book, but When the Spirit Comes, is that what it's called? But I think there was an instance in that book where people walked on the water. They were trying to cross a river that was in Spain, and they had, and the Lord obviously called them, said, come on out, walk, you can do it. I'm doing it, you can do it. You know, Britain's Got Talent, and that guy that was eating all the crazy stuff, and then regurgitating it later on. You see that guy? I mean, it was pretty horrible unless you're into that sort of thing. And so, but I don't know how many times good old Ant and Dick said, now don't try this at home. The guy swallowed light bulbs and everything, and crazy stuff. I thought it was a bit demonic myself. That's got to be demons in there somewhere working on that. But over and over again, they brought that disclaimer, do not try this at home. And I want to tell you, don't try walking on the water unless Jesus is on the water inviting you to come. Don't lay hands on a sick person just because you think that's what you're supposed to do unless Jesus is there, or unless in that time of fellowship with Him in the morning, the Father said to you, in fact, we'll get out in a minute, glory to God, I don't want to rush this. You see, religion asks, and I think we said this the last time, religion asks the question, what would Jesus do? Anybody got one of them bracelets on? If you had, cut it off, throw it away. It's irrelevant. What would Jesus do? That's what religion asks. Relationships ask, Daddy, what are you doing? How many fathers have heard that question over the years? Come on, Daddy, what are you doing? You know what the next question after that is? Can I have a shot? Can I have a go? Can I do it too? Somebody look at me like you know what I'm talking about. Come on! I'll never forget a few weeks ago. I mean, at the end of the service, sometimes we like to hang around, have some fellowship. But you know, I remember I noticed we Jamie pulling on Gavin's leg, and it was like he was obviously in a much more of a hurry to get away than his parents were. And it was like he was just kept pulling him. And later on, I asked Gavin, I says, "What's his hurry?" He says, "Oh, today I promised him we'd get a shot of the hose when I was washing the car." Come on. I mean, this wee guy is full of anticipation and excitement because he's been told that today he's going to get a shot of the hose. Now, most of us would run a mile from that. But that's why Jesus said, you've got to become like little children. It's like, Daddy, what are you doing? Daddy, what are we doing today? Well, I'm going to Angie's to wash the car. Can I have a shot? Can I have a go? Can I do that? He said, okay, today I'll give you a shot of the hose. And he could not wait to get out. He sat on his seat all the way through the service, probably went through Sunday school, never heard a thing. Back downstairs, his parents are hanging around, you know, dragging their heels, and he's pulling. Come on, let's get out of here and get along the anger bits and get a hose into my hand. Shh. I mean, I doubt the car saw any of it. You know, I'd be like, the pressure on these things is just like... Now, if we would just come back into that kind of relationship with the Father, when he'd start to just download to us what he's doing today, and that excitement that, whoa, Daddy, can I get in on that? Of course you can, son. We'll go and do it together. I'm going to give you a shot today. Today you're going to do it. Come on. A religion. You can carry on with religious entertainment. You can go to any church, the most deadest church, and still be entertained, if that's what you went for. Maybe you go, you'll have a laugh and say, did you see the way I did that? Yeah, but the guy said, it's entertainment. Entertainment is entertainment, folks. What did he say? That's entertainment. Bunk, dink. Come on. I remember when we used to come up on holiday and go to the Gabbos Church of Scotland, and the guy, the presenter, would start the first sermon. We'd be rolling around in the back aisle. It was just so alien. And we just like, Gaelic presenter would come, I love it now. But then it was just so alien. You know what I'm saying? And I remember years later, and this wee boy came to the church for the first time with his brothers. He was a wee free church boy, growing up there for the first 6 years of his life. And here he was, sitting his brother's knee in a meeting. And of course, our meeting starts, and everybody's jumping up and down the street. And he's doing the same thing I did in the Gaelic Church of Scotland. You know, he's like, entertainment. We thought we were doing it the right way, you know, but he thought, so, stay at that. I said, yeah, what would that say? Are you in entertainment, or are you in being equipped? Because there's only one who can equip you. Hallelujah. Amen. He says he ascended and he led captivity captive and he gave gifts. And today he's bringing a word to us. This is a rhema word. This is a now word. I stand here as one of the gifts to the body of Christ to bring to you a now word from the Father's heart. To say, I want you back in that kind of relationship. I want you back in that place of intimacy with me. Where you get so excited when you see what I'm doing that you want a shot. That you want to get in on it. And he says, I'll never send you out on your own. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you always. It says at the end of Mark chapter 16 that they went out and they preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, confirming their words with the accompanying signs. Who knows that day when Gavin gave the wee boy a shot of the hose? He probably didn't take much dirt off the car. And later on, he probably had to take the hose back and get the dirt off like it's supposed to do. Come on. But boy, that wee guy will never forget that. He'll never forget. I doubt he'll ever deny one of his children that opportunity, because he'll remember how exciting it was. Come on. Don't ever forget how exciting it is to be, to have your hand in your daddy's hand, to go and to do what daddies usually do. But today you're going to get a turn, you're going to get a shot. That's the kind of relationship that our Heavenly Father is called. Religion will blow holes in this. Religion would shoot me down and tell me to sit down and shut up and don't be so pathetically ridiculous. But I want to tell you, that's what your Father is saying to you this morning. That's what he's inviting you to. He's saying, come on, let's go and do this together. Let's leave your King James at home today and let's go and do some damage to the devil. Amen? Glory to God. That's why we need to look to Jesus, according to Hebrews chapter 12, the author and the finisher, the initiator and the perfecter of our faith. He came and showed us how it's done. He said, come and learn from me. Come and learn from me, real time, now time. Don't look at what you think I did and try and figure out how I did it. Come and let's do it. These are examples, and we saw that last week in John chapter 20, remember, in verse 30, in verse 31, where it says, where John is saying this, he said, these are written that you might, he doesn't say these have been written, get the tense again, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you might have life, that you might live that same kind of life as he is, that you might be in this world. Glory to God. Just walking in the hand in hand with the Father. Come on, shake off some of the cobwebs. Come on, shake them off. Shake off some of them chains that have already been cut, but you're carrying them around as if they're still a part of you, when they've got nothing to do with you. Strongholds must come down, and it begins in the mind. I'm going to put aside all of the arguments, all of the debate, all of that stuff I've learned, everything that I've been pre-programmed with that was just death. And I'm going to receive His Word, His words that are spirit and life. I'm going to receive them in my born-again spirit, and I'm going to allow these words to renew my mind, to change the way I think, which will always result in a change of action. That's why repentance is a change of mind before it's anything else. That's what the word, the Greek word, means. It's a change of mind before it results in a change of action. Glory to God. You see, when you preach this message of grace that we major on, that tells you, look, everything's been done, now we have to do step out in it. Instead of keep whipping yourself and trying to deal with all your baggage and trying to, you're carrying stuff around that's been already removed from you. It's an illusion. Get disillusioned in that department. I'll help you. Need more of this and more of that and more time and inner healing and outer healing and by the other kind of healing. Come on, just the healing's been done. Will you stand up on the inside? Well, you can't tell people that. You know, they'll just carry on sinning. You know what Jesus said about that woman who obviously had a bit of a past, a bit of a history? When the Pharisees, it was rising up, and if you knew what kind of woman she was, blah, blah, blah. She said, those who are forgiven much, sin much. Is that what He said? No, it's not. He said, those who are forgiven much, love much. It's love that keeps you out of sin. Amen. But you see, you can't tell them everything's forgiven. You can't tell them it's all gone. You can't tell them that they're perfect now. Well, that's what the Word said. But that's not just what He said. That's what He's saying. If you're listening, that's what He's telling you. Hallelujah. Gavin got said, you're not going to get the hose. What? You're too wee. You're just, come on, you can't hold that thing. Well, you have to wash the car. You just stay there. You go with your mother and get an ice cream or something. What ice cream you wanted? Ice cream to celebrate afterwards, maybe, but first of all, let's do the business. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. It's about living supernaturally, naturally, and naturally supernaturally. Who knows, Jesus was never under pressure, never stressed out, never trying to figure out new strategies to win the lost. Come on. Didn't go to church growth seminars or anything else. Come on. Didn't have to pay $500 to download the latest series of DVDs to tell you how it's done. Come on, I've got one guy send me emails all the time, and I think, man, I'd be bankrupt if I followed this guy. Come on. You know, how to break the 60 barrier, how to break the 100 barrier, how to break the 200 barrier, how to break the 500 barrier, how to break the 1,000 barrier. Why don't you just tell me the 10,000 barrier first of all? I'll tell you why, because I won't be making him so much money. Come on, I'm believing for 10,000. Let's skip the 60, 100, 200. Come on. Man. Just very quickly as we finish today. Well, we'll finish in a few minutes. I just want to give you two very simple ways to stay in relationship and out of religion. Does that sound good to you? You're here to be equipped today. Number one, just learn to discern, to recognize, and to hear His voice. And then do what He's saying. Simple. Not focusing what He said in the past, but what He is saying right now. A lot of people miss Jesus because they were looking to what God said. Moses said this in the law, blah, 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 blah. This can't be right, he can't be right. They were focusing on what God had said. And here, what God was said was now alive, walking amongst them, but it was now what He was saying, and they couldn't match up the two. Isn't that shocking? Nothing's changed much, folks, by the way. That's still the way it is. Very often, that's what happens. They could not hear what He was saying. What a tragedy. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Not, why are you not doing what I said? No, why do you not do what I say? You can be shouting Lord, Lord so loudly you're missing what He's saying. Don't hear what He's saying. He said, if you do hear what He's saying, and if you apply it, then your house will be built on a solid rock. That every storm that passes through, you'll never be storm-free, but you will be storm-proof. Hallelujah. Need to move this forward real fast. A lot more to say about that. We're just going to push it on. Remember Samuel? He had to, as you go back and read in 1 Samuel, discover that he entered the scene. His mother called upon the Lord and received that son that everybody said she couldn't have. And she dedicated him back to the Lord, brought him into the Lord's house when he was a small child, just a toddler. And it says at that time there was no widespread revelation in the land. People were out of touch and out of contact and out of connection again with I Am. They were just falling through the religious stuff, the religious rituals, and sin was rampant and underneath the surface. You just lifted the lid of that religious mess and every kind of ugly thing was going on. And into that scene entered Samuel, this little boy. And he's lying in his bed at night and he hears a voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel." And he thinks it's Eli, the priest whose house he's living in. And he thinks it's him that's calling him. And he runs to Eli and says, "Yes, you called me." He said, "I never called you." He goes back to bed. He hears it again. He runs back again. Eli says, "I didn't call you, but you need... Hang on a little." I mean, the dullness of this man of God, this man who at one time had served God with all of his heart, but now is just stuck in religious, dead religious ritual. Something begins to waken up and inside him. He goes, "Wait, hang on a minute." He says, "It's not me that's calling you, but the next time you hear that voice, just say, 'Speak, Lord, because your servants listen.' I think the Lord's speaking to you." And he goes back to his bed and the Lord begins to speak to him. And you know that he came to a place of so being able to discern and to hear and to tune into the Lord's voice that he says that everything that he brought as the prophetic voice of God, none of it failed to come to pass. Because he was so tuned in. He was so tuned in to that place where he could so discern and hear the voice of God. Isn't that awesome? You know, you and I can get there. We can get beyond there. Because we've got something that Samuel never had. He had the Spirit. He was anointed as the prophet of the Lord. But we have the Holy Spirit within us. We live in a time of a better covenant. It's greater opportunities. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll just finish this in a minute. Everything that he brought forth as the Lord's prophetic voice came to pass. And he learned that at a time when revelation was all dried up. Doesn't matter what you see going on around you. Doesn't matter. You can sit and fuss about the state of the church along with everybody else and moan and groan and say, "Oh, how sad it is." And you can enter into these conversations if you like, or you can begin to tune in. Just like Samuel. You know, it even said, Ichabod, remember that the Samuel's grandson was born and because of what his sons had been up to, the son had died and his wife called the child Ichabod. "The glory of the Lord has departed." What a mess it was. But in that place, Samuel begins to tune in to the voice of God and becomes the prophet of God and begins to turn the nation back to God. Amen? Hallelujah. And then, of course, at one point in his life, he's going to get stressed out because he feels that people have rejected him because they're crying out for a king. But the Lord speaks to him again and he hears the Lord's voice and the Lord says, "Samuel, don't worry about it. Don't get stressed out. It's not you they're rejecting. It's me they're rejecting." See, the people wanted a figurehead. Who knows that lazy Christians still want a figurehead? Come on. That's why when the disciples heard, "It's better for you that I go," they thought, "Oh no. I mean, I'm going to have to try and get hold of 5 loaves and a couple of fish and make a dinner out of it. Come on, I've been enjoying this. Life has never been so good. Now it's going to..." If there's one word Christians hate, it's two words: personal responsibility. "Hey, it's over to you guys." I don't want to hear that. Don't let that guy up the front do everything. If he ain't doing it right, we'll criticize him, condemn him, have him for dinner every Sunday. I'm not here to tell you that I'm the answer to all your problems. I'm here to equip you so that you will have the answer to all of your problems. Hallelujah. To tell you that the answer to all of your problems is available to you if you will take personal responsibility to come into that place of relationship with him. Hallelujah. Today, if you hear his voice, this ministry is about equipping you to stand, not to have you continually looking to someone else to meet your needs. Jesus said, John 10:27, "My sheep hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They're hearing what he's saying, and they're doing what he's doing. Amen? Go back and read that for yourself. John 10:27, "My sheep hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Let me give you one example of of a religious voice. And it's a bit extreme, but I want to wake you up and maybe shake you up a little bit just to get a grip on this, to begin to realize just the extent of the damage that has been done through people abandoning I am for I was and I will be and yielding themselves to religion instead of maintaining that relationship. If the voices you are listening to you are basically telling you that even though God could prevent it, He is going to allow you to get cancer, and then He is going to stand by while you die an excruciatingly painful death in such agony that even the strongest medication cannot relieve your misery, then who knows, maybe you're listening to the wrong voice. Now, religion will tell you that. Maybe not in so many words. They'll try and dress it up. But that's what they're saying. That's what religion is saying. But maybe the voice you need to tune into is, I am the Lord who heals you. Amen. Who heals all your diseases. That's His voice. I am, present tense. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 4, very clearly it says, listen, come on. Whenever you hear stuff like this, don't think about what the Word said. Think about what the Word is saying. This is rhema for you today, folks. This is life. The words that I speak, Jesus said, they're spirit and they're life. I believe He's speaking through the gift He's placed within me today, to you. Hallelujah. Just forget, maybe you don't like the look of me, maybe you don't like the way I have my hair, or the way I've got a wee silly beard, or anything like that. Well, just get past that. Grow up. Hallelujah. And begin to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4. You don't like my accent. I'm not that fond of myself. Hallelujah. Lots of things I'd like to change about myself, but thank God, you know, I am as here. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. I don't need you to criticize me. Come on, I'm not going down that road. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son. My who? My son. That's the relationship that He's bringing us out, that He's brought us into. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. What I am saying. When? Now. Right now to you. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. Not just health to your spirit. Health to all your flesh. I said on Wednesday night, God made us flesh. We think the flesh is an evil, wicked, bad thing. God made flesh. He went down in the ground, He picked up the dust, and He created flesh out of it, and He said it's good. You're allowed to enjoy this life in the flesh. That religion told you, oh, it's all spirit now, bro. Get out of here. Party pooper. For they are like life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart. Where's the responsibility here now, folks? He just says keep it. He doesn't say you try to catch stuff it and you have to go run around trying to find it. You just keep it. I've given it to you now. Keep it with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The first thing I said, you need to just learn and discern His voice, to discern and to hear and to tune into His voice. The second thing, very quickly, is to learn to draw near and stay close. In James 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and guess what, folks? He'll be running away from you, because He doesn't want nothing to do with you. He ain't going to touch you with a 10-foot pole, by the way. No, He says, He will draw near to you. Where's the responsibility there? He says, because you know why? Because He's there all the time, just longing for you to close that deal. He already knows everything about us. Now He wants us to come to know Him. He knows us even better than we know ourselves. We know all of the things, and we've heard them so often that somehow they just go in one ear and out the other about the fact that He knows the number of hairs in our head, and we just think, oh, that's just another cliche. That's an awesome reality. That's what that is. I don't know how many times I've discovered over the years in that relationship with Him just how personally He is acquainted with us, and how He likes to surprise you and give you little blessings that you wouldn't even have thought He knew He would, when He's running the universe, He'd even have time to know about. Come on. Awesome. Some of you are going, yes, I know that. We need to get a hold of that and stay in that place. Hallelujah. Who determines the closeness of the relationship? We do. He's done everything else. Let me ask you this morning, are you a fan or a friend? You know, fans know a lot about the object of their worship. Come on. You go into some little girls' bedrooms and it's just covered in posters of the latest boy band, you know. They can tell you the date of birth of everyone and tell what height they are, what weight they are, what they like to eat. But do they know them? Could they introduce you to them? No, they can't. They know a lot about them, but they don't know them. Come on. There's a lot of people who spent their whole lives in church and they know a lot about Jesus. They can tell you all about him, everything that he did, but they don't know him well enough to introduce you to him. Are you a fan or are you a friend? Jesus said to his disciples one time, he says, I'm elevating your status. From now on, I'm going to call you friends. Hallelujah. Amen. It says Abraham was a friend of God. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 7, there was nothing that God did in Abraham's time that he didn't get down beside Abraham and share it with him first. God does nothing, it says, but first of all, he reveals his secrets to the prophets. That's why you need to be in a place where the prophetic voice is coming forth. Where the now word is coming to keep you in that place of relationship. No, I'm not talking about something spooky and wacky. I'm talking about you enjoying this life that Jesus came to give to you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. People out there today need someone to introduce them to Jesus, but it's not enough to know about him. It's not, faith is not believing that he can. It's knowing that he, well, they need to meet him. They need to have a personal encounter with him. And we are the only ones who can introduce them to him, but we must know him first. I'm wondering, you say, well, imagine seeing one of your daughters, well, I'll go with you to one of these concerts, but if we go, I want you to introduce me to these guys, because I've heard you speak about so much about them. I see their posters everywhere, I listen to their music every day, so when we go to the concert, will you introduce me to them? We'll go round to the stage door and we'll just say, well, this is my daughter, she knows everything about you, and she said that she would introduce me to the band tonight. You know what they're going to do? They're going to carry you off between two big bouncers and deposit you in the biggest puddle they can find in the centre of the road and hope you get run over by a bus. So you won't come back and annoy them again. That's the reality of what's out there. And a lot of people in the church, it's the same way. They know everything about him, but they wouldn't have a clue how to introduce someone else to Jesus. And that needs to change. You know the best way that can change? They need to hear a personal word from the Lord through you to them that reveals to them just how well he knows them. Hallelujah. That's what happened to the woman at the well of Samaria, wasn't it? I just read that again this morning. I was just reading how Jesus sat down at the well and begins to interact with this woman, someone he shouldn't even have been speaking to as far as religion was concerned. And then at some point he says, well, how about go and get your husband? She says, no, I don't have a husband. He says, that's right, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with now isn't your husband. She's like, wow, prophet. And that was her message when she ran back to town, wasn't it? Come and see. What did she say? Come. What did she say? Come and see someone who told me everything that he ever did. The Samaritan woman said, come and see. Philip said to Nathaniel, come and see. Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Come and see. Come on, I'll introduce you to him. Hallelujah. Come on. Remember the people who came out of that town of Samaria? It says they, some of them believed when they heard the woman's testimony, and others believed when they heard him speak to them personally. They said, we heard what you said, and that's good. We thank God for your testimony, but now I've got my own. Amen. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Are you getting the difference between believing that he can and knowing that he will? The difference between doing what he did and getting involved in what he's doing, the difference in hearing what he said and hearing what he's saying. It'll change our lives, folks. It'll change the direction of our lives. It'll change the direction of this church. It'll change the direction of the church of Jesus Christ if we'll just come back to that place of I am. Interacting with I am. As he is, so are we in this world. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your words. Lord, impart truth to our hearts and help us to continue in it until the truth results and manifests in the freedom that we've, Lord God, never experienced before, in new ways, in Jesus' name. Let your glory be seen and manifested in the earth, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Ready to worship him? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Back here tonight.